The News in Numbers with Tanya Curry, exclusively on Chai FM.
Tanya Curry, I believe you were trying to get a word in, and I never mind you having me on mute. I had you on mute a bit earlier.
I've been trying to get a word in for about an hour, but it's all right. It's all good. I'm still here.
Well, that's good news. You had something to add about...
You were talking earlier about Sheep's Head, Skoko,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So, Zanati, I love Skoko.
Yeah, okay? Me too.
Not Skoko. So, Skoko is the bottom of the pot. After you've made some pup and it gets burnt.
Oh,
okay?
A lot of people actually like
and it. I can eat an entire pot of
so what is that? It's crispy.
Yeah,
it's
and it kind
so
of
crispy and it's so delicious. There's don't tell anybody my, it's all mine.
Can I tell you, my aunt's friend even adds like a sour cream to it.
Mm-hmm. Yummy.
Wow.
But when I talk about it, people think I'm talking about sheep's head, and I really don't eat sheep's head.
Right. Okay, so it's the pap. You make pap, and then the bottom sort of gets more, like burns a bit.
Yes.
And it's got a crust at the bottom.
Oh, but
I think it makes like a thick crust at the bottom.
That's so interesting, because I don't like pap.
I also don't like pap.
Because it's too soft. Maybe, but if it was that crispy part,
I don't think I'd like it still.
Zanetti, you don't eat pap.
I don't eat bub. Literally, the last time I ate bub was when I was 10 years old, and I said to my mother, I'm never eating this again.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
Is that allowed?
No, because I asked her, I was like, when can I stop eating bub? Because she wasn't eating bub, and she was dishing out food. And she was like, when you're old. I'm like, when am I going to be old? She's like, when you're 10. So on my 10th birthday, first thing I said was, I'm never eating bub ever again.
That's so funny.
So it's been 20 years.
Wow.
It's too starchy.
It is too starchy. Yeah. And everybody gets very excited to serve it at a braai, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I absolutely love it. I love it. And it's such a versatile dish. Like, you can put anything in it. I love pup. Anyway, shall we get back to the news in numbers?
Not even back to the news in numbers. We haven't even started. Let's get to the news in numbers. What are the big stories of this week?
Wow, Barbara Hogan knocked it out the park, man. Mm-hmm. Out the park. What kind of record keeping did that woman do?
Incredible.
I mean, everybody was astonished at the level of detail she had kept together over those years. I mean, and also the mistreatment of Ahmed Petrada.
Well, to me, that was actually out of everything. That all I really retained was the disdain, the disrespect of no wonder Zuma wasn't allowed to speak at his funeral.
Oh, it's worse than that. Howard, Zuma would not allow a state funeral for Ahmed Kathrada. You know that, don't you?
No, well, I didn't, actually.
Kathrada's never had a state funeral to this day. It was done on by private individuals and the Kathrada Foundation.
Wow.
Zuma stopped the state funeral. He refused to lower the flags. There was so much vitriol around the death of Kathrada, and I think Barbara Hogan managed to offload a lot of that in the state capture inquiry. So the state capture inquiry is by far the biggest story, 23.9%. Also, did you see Manye's testimony?
No, I did not.
Okay, so if you go back to series one of State Inquiry, okay, there was series a testimony one. By Pumla Williams, okay, also a very powerful testimony about the capturing of GCIS, okay, the Government Communication Information Services. So this is the company, guys, that does all the advertising for government departments, for elections, et cetera, et cetera. So it's huge advertising budgets. So she testified about it being captured and Jimmy Manye being put front and center of that particular story. So he then came to State Capture Inquiry to so-called clear his name. And all you heard was the man's CV. Mm-hmm. Like, he just kept telling you how great he was. He's another Claudia Motsoeleng. The guy's nuts. I mean, even the comments. You know what I love about YouTube is when you're watching the state capture inquiry,
you
minimize the screen.
Yes, and you just read the comments. I also absolutely love
those
that.
Those comments are insane. Like, guys, don't hold back at all on that platform.
No, it's the best.
And they were saying, like, why did you come here? Are you looking for a job? Like, is that why you're here?
That's terrible. That is terrible. So
the state capture inquiry is certainly Definitely the top story this week comes in with almost a quarter of our media conversation. That's a big one. And just behind it, and also the focus of state capture in a lot of ways, is the former President Zuma, because he has to pay the court costs, right?
Right, right.
And he's now rallying in KZN as we speak. So I don't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on.
No.
But right behind him is Gigaba or Gigabai.
Yeah. So hold on. When did he resign? That must have been Monday or Tuesday. Is that right?
It was Monday.
Okay.
So it's now the third largest story on the day. Of course, it was a very, very big story.
Massive, yeah.
But the newspapers and the headlines were just so brilliant. I saw one that said, Gigaba has run out of gigabytes.
I saw that. He's got no data. Yep. I loved it. Just,
no data, yeah. That's right. Gigabyte runs out of data.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's incredible. But quite controversial as well, because a lot of people obviously enjoying the moment, but others saying, hold on, guys, don't get too excited. He did nothing amazing. This guy still needs to face the wrath of the law. He is he's really a rotten egg in many ways.
Absolutely. And that is what social media is saying. Also, social media saying, don't get too happy. You haven't heard the last of this guy at all. You know, he made big threats before his resignation about if he had to leave, would he help to pay?
Help to pay was his expression, which is a very concerning and strange one, I think.
Well, maybe that's why it's so hot.
Yeah, that's how powerful he is. Not. Yeah.
And then he has a story. Like, you know, it's land expropriation and all that has been a big story this week, okay? It didn't make the top 10. But I tell you what did is Black Friday. Black Friday is next week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's next Friday.
Do you know that South Africa is the 9th most interested country in the world when it comes to talking about Black Friday?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been doing quite a lot of research because we're going to spend quite a bit of time on it next week. Thursday, we've got a focus on it. We've got different vendors. We're looking at it from a social media perspective as well, like how much it gets used. And I tell you that the numbers in South Africa are staggering.
Staggering.
The growth between regular online purchasing and Black Friday online purchasing is breathtaking. So
We're one of the fastest growing countries in the world as far as Black Friday is concerned, if not the fastest growing, to the point that I see that Game have put out notices to say, please shop online. Like, this is how you can shop online. We're even going to give you further discount if you shop online.
Yeah, in fact, I've got that to talk about that later, because Business Insider have released a lot of that information in terms of who is doing what, because everybody does have these strategies for Black Friday. They've got an article, What You Need to Know About Black Friday at Game and Macro, and including which stores will be open at midnight, Uber discounts for shoppers. It's crazy. It's
Do you go shopping on Black Friday, Howard?
No, definitely not.
What about you, Zanati?
Only because I'm never paid by that date.
So that's the reason that you don't. Yeah. But what is interesting, Tanya, is we're busy doing a bit of a renovation, and I said to our builder yesterday, you know, are there things that you could maximize on Black Friday in terms of anything we might need for construction? And she said, absolutely. So it does become a very interesting day if you use it for the right purpose.
Well, last year, I didn't even know it was Black Friday because, I'm ignorant like that. And I went into Checkers, I think it was, and here were all these Black Friday signs. And I thought, oh, my word, this is going to be very bad. You can't believe what I walked out with. My trolley was full, man.
Wow.
The deals were unbelievable.
All right, so maybe it is worth it. Time is 7:36. Let's go back to Tanya Khoury and continue our conversation, have a look at what's happening in the world in numbers. So we covered some of the main stories. What else we got in South African news?
Well, did you hear about Hermanus Shaba?
Yes. Well, that's how we got onto that conversation.
The Skopo.
Yes.
Well, firstly, besides the story itself, his reputation index, you know, we have this element of our system that can tell you how you're doing hour on hour. He is tanking by 255% day on day.
Now, so I just have to check, is that because he is coming across as disconnected from the people of Johannesburg, or is it a DA thing?
No, it's a Herman Mashaba thing. He's definitely been isolated from the DA in this particular conversation. And his reputation, if you have a look at the negative impact, 37.6%. So over a third of everything said about him is negative. And he's not doing well at all. What was that comment, though? I mean, I couldn't even work out what was going on. Did he say he saw some meat?
To give us the background there, because we spoke about that.
So he arrested the informal meat trader, and said, you know, due to hygiene purposes and stuff like that, you're not allowed, because the meat trader was transporting the meat, the cow heads, in a trolley. People are like, but people have been doing this for decades, though. Why are you arresting this particular person? And then he went and made comments, because I think this person was also undocumented. And then he made comments about how it's going to bring Ebola.
Well, to me, that was just unbelievably stupid.
What ignorance is that?
So people were very upset. They're like, you know what? Instead of, you know, arresting these people, rather just help them and try to make them understand hygiene standards and try to improve their businesses, because now you're hurting people that are literally just trying to earn a living for their families. And this is done literally in all the CBDs all over the country, in all the townships. So why are you going to stop a practice that's been done for decades?
But do we think that
ever died?
He's completely is it an issue of disconnection?
It really is.
He's a weird creature, isn't he? I mean, he certainly has a xenophobic problem. I mean, he doesn't like foreigners very much. I mean, he's said that more than once.
Yeah, he keeps having to pull himself back from that.
He's very disconnected because his problem is that because he grew up and, you know, very, very, struggling and underprivileged as well.
So that's what I find interesting because it's not that he can't relate to it. He doesn't come from a privileged background financially.
The problem is he was able to get himself out of that. So now, because of that mentality, he thinks that everybody
should be able to get
that's out of
why
that.
That's very interesting.
That's something to do with the tender he gave to his wife, maybe. Sorry.
I don't know. I've actually found it quite interesting because I think that could make a fascinating study, because on the one hand, you would think that somebody that grew up with nothing and with no privilege should be able to relate and feel the pain of other people. But here, in this case, we are seeing almost a intolerance of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The one person I haven't mentioned, and I'm sorry for that, number three on the charts is Praveen Gordhan, being summoned by the public prosecutor. Public protector. What happened?
Yes, I don't know, because again, you know, we had that incident with Jacob Zuma, and I don't know if you remember, Jacob Zuma punished the country when the ANC did so poorly at local government elections.
Yes,
that was during August. We had this euphoria about the ANC losing some of their main areas. The DA took over, and within a few weeks, Zuma launched this attack on Praveen Gordhan at the time, and I saw it very much as a scorched earth policy kind of an attack, but it was shown to be complete nonsense. And now all of a sudden, this is being revisited by the public protector, who nobody trusts anyway, who has no credibility. So what on earth is going on here?
Don't know, but I tell you what, it hasn't affected Praveen Gordhan's reputation. His reputation up 165% day upon day into positive territory.
We clearly don't believe it. We clearly just
don't. No, we don't care. Stop bothering us. Then the Guptas. Wow. So the Guptas might be coming back, like we spoke about earlier.
Yes.
6.4% of the big stories this week. That particular story has been going on all week and has quite a high engagement. A good 28,000 people talking about it at any one time. And then, of course, the VBS bank heist. They liquidated the assets now, I believe. What assets?
Yeah, I don't know.
What if stuff at the bank was heisted?
Yeah, well, it was. But, whatever's left, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to help very much. Anyway, the VBS comes in at number 8. And then, this one I don't understand. Like, I don't even know how it got here. Idibana challenge. Is that how I say it?
Yeah.
Did it make your charts? I'm so excited.
It's number 9. It's more publicity than the NDPP and land expropriation. What are you talking about?
That is unreal.
Oh no!
And I'm just—I wanted—I want you to know that I was the one that brought up the Idibala challenge.
Yeah, you did.
Way ahead of my time. I saw this one coming, and I knew that this was going to be a big story.
Oh, gosh.
Number nine.
Now, but Zanati, I want you to unpack it for me for a minute.
Zanati,
this is the weirdest.
Oh yeah, you're not enough time to talk.
You're not usually that woke, so it's really
I feel like you're asking Zanati because not me because I'm white.
Yeah, and you're just...
Well, there is that.
I was so surprised when you sent me the article. I'm like, what are you doing?
I said, we need to talk about this. Okay, so Nati, you go ahead with it.
So the Idibala challenge. So as Lindy told us, what language is it, Lindy? Oh, she's not. Is it Venda?
It's here, you don't
Tswana. Yeah, so in Tswana, Idibala means to faint. So basically, whenever the part that says Idibala comes, people are supposed to faint. Doesn't matter what you're doing, where you are, even if you're driving.
Okay, the driving thing is very, very bad.
You must just faint.
The minute the song comes on.
No. Only when you get to
the Idibala part.
Idibala part.
Yeah.
Idibala part. Is it that bad that you have to faint? I haven't heard the song.
No, because it's very dangerous because now people are doing it while they're driving and it's just, it's also not flattering.
No, it's not flattering. Nobody looks good fainting.
Honestly.
Nobody.
So that's why I'm like, I don't understand why it's so popular and why people are doing it at work, even like nurses and like doctors. And it's like, guys, really?
I think it's the end of the year and we just need some fun. We need some fun.
Oh,
well, gosh. It certainly made a big impact. It also converged with the Gigaba story because people were going, oh, now I'm definitely fainting because the Gigaba finally resigned. So those two converged. And maybe that's why it made such a big thing. But 749% day on day, every week, every day it grew. So it managed to make position nine on the charts and overtook the NDPP. So
now listen, even kids in China have been Idibala.
Yes, it's gone through the whole of Africa now and now to China.
And China.
That says something to us. Like, really, I don't know. Like, the world's not right. We're not okay. So the NDPP is number 10 on the list. And at first, the interviews weren't going to be live, were they?
No.
And then at the last minute, the interviews became broadcasted. So I watched some of them. Did you watch them,
no,
guys?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Wow, do they get grilled?
Really?
There's not. I wouldn't like to be in that hot seat at all. Glynis Breytenbach left. She said she exited from the race saying, not even the Pope can save this situation.
That's funny. That is funny.
I don't know why she referenced the Pope.
Yeah, I'm actually quite upset about that.
There's a lot of situations he hasn't saved.
I think she would have been unbelievable, especially with her experience and the way that she was treated within that department. So personally, I happen to be a massive fan of hers. So I am quite upset that that she's no longer in that race.
Well, so that's the wrap. The worst story this week, the biggest negative net sentiment is the VBS bank heist followed by the Guptas.
Right.
And the most positive is the Idibala challenge followed by Black Friday. And that's those are the stats in South Africa this week.
Brilliant. Tanya Kuri, that's where we have to leave you. It is 7:45.